We were thinking last Sunday, and over a number of Sunday evenings, we want to continue to think a little bit about those words in front of you on the screen, the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sometimes has been described by Christians as the Cinderella of the church. You know the story of Cinderella. She had been forgotten about. She had been neglected. And in many ways, and quite often, in the Church of Jesus Christ, we can neglect and forget the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And one of the great problems with that is that when we forget and neglect the work of the Holy Spirit, then we become dry and dusty. We may be very orthodox and correct in our doctrine, but we need a fresh touch. We need a fresh enabling and empowering from God. And so that in many ways undergirds what we are thinking about as we think about the work of the Holy Spirit. And another little comment just at the beginning, and I referenced this in my first prayer. We're not thinking about the work of the Holy Spirit for the sake of thinking about Him and forgetting about our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, the Scripture tells us in John's Gospel that one of the great works of the Spirit is to point us to Jesus. So even as we think of the work of the Spirit, we must be thoroughly Christ-centered in all that we seek to do. But this evening, if the text that I want us to think about just for a little while is this text here. It's a famous text in John chapter 3 and verse 8, where it says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Now, we remember the context. I'm sure this passage has been preached on many occasions, so we know the story. The story is of a very religious man, a man called Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. And he is a Pharisee. He's a very, very religious man. But he maybe is searching. He senses that there's a need for something more. And he comes to Jesus one night. And he speaks to him. And maybe as they speak, the wind is blowing and stirring the branches and rustling the leaves. And as that happens, Jesus says to this man, "Nicodemus, the wind is blowing." That's what happens when the Spirit of God moves. That's what happens whenever a man is born of God. The wind is moving. Listen to the wind, Nicodemus. Listen to the wind. The Spirit is moving. And the Spirit was moving in that situation because Nicodemus, we know, became a convert. He was converted to Jesus Christ. He had his struggles, but he became a Christian, a follower of Jesus. And Nicodemus, brought up in the Jewish tradition as he was and steeped in it, would have known that the same word in the Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, the same word for wind was also the word used for the Spirit of God. Listen to the wind, Nicodemus. I want to just break this up this evening in a number of ways. First of all, I want us to think of the action of the Spirit. To put very simply, the Spirit and how the Spirit moves. The point here is that the Spirit of God, like the wind, blows and moves. When you read the Bible right from the very beginning, it's interesting, in Genesis chapter 1 right through to the very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, that it speaks about the Spirit of God. Right at the very beginning, the Spirit is moving. In the beginning, God. And the Spirit hovered over the waters. The Spirit is moving right at the very beginning. And at the very end of the Bible, the Spirit is moving. Let me use a couple of illustrations. Think about the day of Pentecost, for example. If you want to glance that up in your Bible, you'll find it in Acts chapter 2. Think about what happened on that remarkable day, when that group of very uncertain disciples were gathered and the Spirit moved. And we're told in the Bible that there was a violent wind and tongues of fire appeared hovering over those disciples. And what happened in that situation is that those men got up from their doubts and their fears and they went out and they preached Jesus Christ. And Peter preached. And amazingly, 3,000 people were converted to Jesus Christ. Now, what is it that changes a situation from a group of people sitting fearful, full of doubts, not sure what they should do, to lift them and take them out into the street and to share the message of Christ in such a way that a whole host of people are converted? The wind blows. The wind blows. And you know, there were many skeptics in that day of Pentecost. There are always skeptics. And there were some who said, and you can read it there in Acts chapter 2, verse 12 or 13. Oh, these guys have been drinking too much wine. But they hadn't been drinking the Spirit that they took down from a shelf. They had been filled with the Spirit of the living God. And that's the thing that makes the difference. And that is the thing, young person and older person, that will make the difference in your Christian experience. From taking you from a person who may be filled with doubts and fears and uncertainties about this, that, and the other thing, to taking you and to taking you out onto the street, as it were, to do and to speak and to live in such a way that God will use you and you will see people touched and changed. The wind is blowing. The Spirit is moving. As I said, there are always skeptics. And we have our skeptics in our nation and in our world today. I was struck recently by reading the story of how the London City Mission, we were thinking of the Belfast City Mission on Thursday night, but how the London City Mission started. And I was struck by just a couple of things that came together. There was a man who lived at that time. His name was Thomas Carlyle. He, in many ways, was a very famous Scottish historian. But he was a skeptic. He had no time for God. You might say he was a kind of the Richard Dawkins of his age. And he sometimes would have said provoking things like, God sits in heaven and does nothing. Carlyle moved to London in the mid-1830s. No time for God. Skeptical about anything to do with the gospel. But under his very nose, but he couldn't see it, God was at work. And under his very nose, three men formed the London City Mission. And they went out into the slums and the byways of London and they saw a great work of God done, but Carlyle didn't see it. And I suppose, folks, there's a lesson there that the wind blows. Yes, we have our skeptics, but the wind is blowing. The church sometimes can seem feeble and weak and ineffective. But brother and sister, take courage. The wind is still blowing. Your life and my life at times is not what we know that it should be as Christian believers. But take heart tonight. The wind is blowing. There may be an abundance of disappointments and setbacks, but the wind blows. Can you hear the wind tonight? Jesus said to that man, Nicodemus, Nicodemus, do you hear the wind blowing? Do you sense the Spirit of God moving? The wind blows. But there's another wonderfully encouraging thing here tonight. Jesus says to Nicodemus, he says, Nicodemus, the wind blows wherever it pleases. In other words, the Spirit of God moves as He pleases. It is impossible, bless God and praise God, for any man or even any church to dictate to God the Holy Spirit how He should move and what He should do. You cannot domesticate the Spirit of the living God. Let me use the story of the day of Pentecost to illustrate something else. Not only were there the skeptics on that day of Pentecost who dismissed what was going on, but thousands were converted. There were also some very religious people on that day of Pentecost, the religious establishment, and they were absolutely opposed to what was going on. Here was a group of people on that day of Pentecost. There were Jewish people, there were Gentile people, there were all sorts of people. And according to the strict Jewish religious establishment of the day, it just wasn't the right thing. God would not bless such a gathering. But here's the point. The wind blew wherever He pleased to blow. And as Peter got up and he preached Jesus Christ, 3,000 people were converted. There were Jewish people converted. There were Gentile people converted. There were all sorts of different people converted to Jesus Christ. And the dividing wall of hostility was broken down by the Spirit of the living God. Jews and Gentiles and barbarians were touched and changed as Christ was preached. Let me give you another example. An example from history. I could have chosen any number. There's a very famous picture. I wonder, do you know what that's a picture of? It's a picture that someone painted. It's a picture of John Wesley doing what he did for much of his life, standing in the middle of a town preaching the gospel. Now, here's my point. John Wesley, you know the story. John Wesley was a very religious man. But John Wesley speaks of his heart being strangely warmed one night as he sat in a meeting. And the preface to the book of Romans was being read. Call it what you like, but John Wesley was touched by God that night. And he got up from that place and he said, I must go out and preach this message. You see, when the Spirit of God gets a grip on you, brother and sister in Christ, you get a constraint in your heart and you feel, I have to do this. I have to speak to that person. I have to go to that meeting. I have to be in that place of prayer. But here's the point. John Wesley was a Church of England minister, a very prim and proper minister, a real Englishman. And the religious establishment of the day said to John Wesley, "No, you cannot go out and preach the gospel like that. If you want to preach, stay in the building. Do not go out into the street. Do not go out into the middle of a field and start preaching. It's a very uncommon and uncouth thing to do. Don't do it." What was John Wesley to do? Well, you can see what he did. He went out and he preached. And he preached up and down the length and breadth of the land. He preached across this island of Ireland. He preached throughout parts of the United States of America. And listen to this, brother and sister in Christ. Through the Spirit-inspired preaching of Christ, a generation was touched by God. And when John Wesley died on the 2nd of March, 1791, he left 79,000 followers of Christ in England and 40,000 who had professed Christ in North America. Why? Because the Spirit of God had moved in his heart and said, "I want you to go out and I want you to preach." And even though their religious establishment may say, "No, you're not meant to be doing it. This is not the way it's done. Preach Christ." And thousands were converted. Thousands. The Spirit was moving. The Spirit was moving. And folks, as I preach this and as I share these thoughts about the moving of the Spirit, does that not touch something within your heart? Is there not something within your heart that says, "Lord, would you not do it again? Lord, would you not come and do this again?" But at times we are too complacent. At times we are just happy with what we've got. We're even a little bit fearful. Don't rock the boat. One other lovely example, just very briefly. Some people from this church were just last autumn at a conference organized by the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. And I speak generally here, speaking about some of the terrible things that happen in the Middle East, but also speaking of how in the midst of some of the barbarity and the awfulness of what's happening in parts of the Middle East, that many people are coming to Christ. You'll not hear that on the 10 o'clock news tonight. You'll not read about that in the newspaper tomorrow morning. But God is at work. The wind is blowing. The Spirit is moving. Do not despair, brother and sister in Christ. But the final thing I want to say tonight, Jesus went on to say to that man Nicodemus, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound." In other words, Nicodemus, you may not be able to tell where the wind has come from or where it's going, but you hear it. You know that the wind is blowing. You know that the Spirit is moving. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Nicodemus, if you're born of the Spirit, You may not understand where the Spirit has come from or where he's going, but you will hear his sound. You will see evidence of what he's doing. And in the same way, folks, a day or two ago or a week or so ago, the wind's blowing. How do you know? Well, you look out, you hear its sound, and you see the branches blowing. When the wind blows and when the Spirit blows, there are certain signs. What are some of the signs? What's some of the evidence that the Spirit is moving? Think of a person who once was not too interested in the gospel, but they begin to be interested. They say to themselves, you know, I need to start going to church. I need to start reading my Bible. I need to get to that meeting. What's happening? The Spirit is moving. Think of a man or a woman who once was seldom, if ever, seen in church. But now they're there most weeks. What's happening? The wind is blowing. The Spirit is moving. Think of a man or a woman who once were rather unpleasant, shall we say. But now there's a bit of a change. There's a love. There's a kindness. We were singing about that. There's a gentleness. What's happening? The wind is blowing. The Spirit is moving. Think of a church that may have been always looking in on itself, stuck in a rut, full of people that may be saved, but stuck, that begins to give itself a shake, that begins to say, look, as well as the organizational life of this little fellowship, we need to be thinking about those who are not here. Those who are connected to this church, but maybe seldom, if ever, come. How can we encourage them to come? Those who maybe live beside us, we don't even know them, they're strangers to us. Will we ignore them? No, let's go and welcome them, invite them in. What's happening? The wind is blowing. Spirit is moving. Folks, can I ask you this evening? Many of you here profess to have been born of the Spirit. Do you hear the wind blowing? Are you even listening to hear the wind blowing? Are you, from a Monday morning through to a Saturday night, before you appear at church the next Sunday, how much thought do you even give to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and in the life of this congregation? Could it be that we have neglected, like Cinderella in the story, everybody forgot about her? Have we forgotten about the Spirit? So what does all of this mean tonight as I finish? Well, as I've said before, it means that for many of us here tonight, if you profess to be a Christian, you need to seek after God afresh. This country has got far too many people who are saved and stuck. Saved and stuck on a decision that happened 20 or 30 years ago. Can I appeal to you tonight as your pastor to seek a fresh touch from God? Seek a fresh touch from God. Yes, you may have been saved 30 years ago or 40 or more. But this week, will you go home? Will you get down before God and just say, Lord, come and fill me afresh with all that you have for me? And as I said last week, ensure that the Holy Spirit has all of you. Very often what we need to be praying is not so much for more of the Spirit, but that the Holy Spirit would have more of us. Because if truth be told, we're holding back. Holding back. And the way to blessing is not by holding back. Lay everything on the altar. And God will surprise you by what he does. Are we grieving the Spirit? Are we resisting him? Are we frightened of him? We should not be frightened of him. Return, O holy dove, return. Sweet messenger of rest, I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. And my last word is to any here tonight, and you're not yet converted. You haven't as yet come to that point where you have surrendered your life to Jesus. Well, the very first thing that you need to do is to come and to repent and believe the gospel. To pray as one of old, with great sincerity, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And when you pray that prayer, to tell somebody that you've prayed it and to realize it's the beginning of a brand new life. Will you do that? That's where it begins. That's where the blessing begins. And that's where the work of the Spirit begins in each of our hearts. Let us pray. Spirit divine, attend our prayers and make this house thy home. Descend with all thy gracious powers. O come, great Spirit, come. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Spirit, hear our cry tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen.